Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. Today I talk to Mike Schreiner, who is of course the member of Provincial Parliament for Guelph and is also the leader of the Green Party of Ontario. This week, after a five-month long hiatus, the Ontario Legislature is finally back in session. Observers have been wondering if the extended break has allowed for a more collegial process in Queen's Park to become reality, especially as the government faces a number of pressing and challenging issues. That's one of a couple of questions we're going to ask Schreiner as he gets back to school, as it were. Getting back to school is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. Now, this will be a shorter than usual podcast, but an important one as we get some insight into what kind of session of the legislature that this is going to be. Premier Doug Ford has been making the rounds on media, which is enough of an unusual move for him. And this comes after Justin Trudeau's re-election last week. And Ford has been talking a lot about working together on issues, even as he continues to pursue a Supreme Court challenge against the carbon tax. Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing Stephen Clark told an AMO meeting last week that the government will not look to amalgamate municipalities, and this from the same government who made shrinking Toronto City Council in the middle of an election a major priority last year. And then there's the ongoing issue of labor unrest with Ontario's teachers. The government has just avoided one strike, and they recently made moves to dial down the heat with the OSSTF and the ETFO, two teachers' unions threatening to go on strike. So is this a different Ford government? Mike Schreiner isn't entirely buying it. Like all his colleagues, Schreiner got an embiggened summer vacation and he used it to make appearances at events around Guelph. He did a tour of the province and he even helped get the backup of federal Green Party candidates during the election, including Guelph candidate Steve Dick. He's also been staying on top of government announcements by issuing pointed and highly critical but still respectful commentary, and that goes for a variety of issues, but as the Green Party leader, Schreiner's been especially sharp on the Ford government's record on climate, and whether that's moving on the ban of single-use plastics, the court case against the carbon tax, or the government's much-maligned gas station stickers. So we touch on all of that in this edition of the Guelph Politicast, but we do also address his concerns about the Supreme Court challenge of the carbon tax and why Premier Ford should give it up in the wake of the election. Schreiner also talks about how the new tone worked, at least on the first day of question period, but why he suspects that it might not last. Schreiner also discusses why people need to keep up the pressure on the government over the next couple of months and why he hopes that his own private member's bill to protect the Paris Gulf Moraine might actually work to bring people together across parties. So I caught up with Mike Schreiner by phone from his office in Queen's Park this past Monday. So question number one, and I think it's the most pertinent one. How's it been going so far? It's been 8 hours since the legislature got going again.
Well, two observations. So one is the tone has certainly changed, at least in the first question period, and we'll see how long that lasts. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a respectful debate back and forth between the government and the opposition. And, you know, a shout out to Speaker Ted Arnett, obviously Wellington Halton Hills MPP. He put out a memo over the summer really pushing MPPs to treat the legislature with more respect. It's certainly something I've been calling for, and it was nice to see our first day so far living up to those expectations. Mm-hmm. I think the people of Ontario, you know, they sent us to Queen's Park to build Ontario up, not tear each other down. And I thought what we saw the first year here was just really disrespectful of the legislature and the people of this province. Mm-hmm. The other interesting observation today is the teachers were out in full force circling Queen's Park today, and there was a contingent from Guelph, so I spent some time walking around the park with them this morning, and just really reiterating their message of standing up for high-quality public education. Mm-hmm. We've already seen cutbacks in our schools and cancellation of classes, and just with the increase from, you know, average class sizes of 22 to 22.5. And if the government's going to push forward its agenda of moving it to 25 or 28, seems to be a bit of a moving target right now. Mm-hmm. Any increase like that in class sizes will have a negative effect on the quality of education. I mean, we've already seen students in some cases struggling to get into classes they need. In other cases, we've seen programs canceled. Mm-hmm. Because some programs, in order to be effective, you know, have to have a class size of, let's say, 10. And so if your average is 25 or 28, it then means other classes are, you're looking at 30 plus and even maybe as high as 40.
Yeah.
And the other thing related to that today was there were a number of teachers here at Queen's Park today who had lost their jobs.
Mm.
And so, you know, the premier has said over and over again that nobody would lose a job due to his cutbacks. And when confronted with real job losses, he's denied it. Well, I can tell you in the lobby of Queen's Park today, I spoke with a number of teachers who have lost their jobs and are no longer in the classrooms.
Is this going to be like the issue that I think gets the lion's share of the attention this term or this part of the term that the teachers struggle? Because it seems like it's been the fight we've all sort of been waiting to happen.
Well, certainly education is going to be front and center, and we'll be debating Bill 124 today, which is the legislation that really is a preemptive strike on negotiations,
mm-hmm.
essentially legislating a wage freeze, which in many respects denies teachers and other public sector workers, you know, their right to bargaining, which, you know, they've already indicated they're going to charter challenge if it passes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the challenge I've been putting out to the premier is if he really does want to set a new tone, if he wants to have a government reset, taking Bill 124, which was put onto the order paper back in the spring, off the table, I think would be a step in the right direction and indicating that the government is going to bargain in good faith, not only with teachers, but other public sector unions as well.
Right. It seems like we have kind of, we talked about the different tone, but there's almost two tones at the moment where, you know, you have a smiling Premier Ford on, you know, breakfast television talking about, you know, getting down to work. But, you know, there's also these low key things like Bill 124 and also the things, and there was a press release your office put out just a couple hours ago about how the carbon tax court challenge is continuing. And then, you know, that probably we won't hear a lot about until the Supreme Court hears the Saskatchewan case in January. So is maybe the government hoping that, you know, putting on a happy face maybe lets them do stuff on the down low that, you know, we might make more than a little fuss about, you know, given the fact that there's been a rather big fracas out front for the past year?
Yeah, and well, you've certainly identified one of the big concerns I have.
Mm.
You know, I've been saying all day today to reporters that, you know, you can shift the tone, but if you don't change the policy direction, then you're still going to have damage done to the people of Ontario. You're still going to have people upset.
Mm-hmm.
One example of that is, you know, why is the premier continuing to waste our tax dollars with a politically motivated lawsuit that he knows the sabotage climate solutions that he knows is likely going to fail in court anyway? I mean, it's already failed in one respect. So why is he continuing with that, especially at a time when the premier is saying, you know, Ontario needs to lead the way and unifying the country and having better relations with the federal government. Well, how do you do that when you appeal your lost legal battle to sabotage climate solutions and to sue the federal government?
Right.
It makes absolutely no sense. And the other thing I've been reminding people today is that, you know, if the premier gets his way, 8 in 10 Ontarians will actually see a tax increase because, as you know, the Financial Accountability Officer, the Parliamentary Budget Officer, and others have shown that most people in Ontario, 8 in 10 people in Ontario, actually are having their taxes go down because of the federal carbon pricing program.
Right.
So, you know, why is the premier sabotaging solutions when we need urgent climate action? Why is the premier wasting our tax dollars on a legal challenge that if he wins, which he likely won't, but if he does win, will actually increase most people's taxes?
Mm-hmm. It's striking because this would be sort of the thing to the first thing if we were to, you know, really want to move forward past some of the divisiveness, and a lot of that was, of course, leading up to the federal election too. But it makes me wonder, and maybe you can offer your point of view from inside the legislature, which is, are the conservatives making a political calculation to, like, lead with their best foot, or is there really an understanding, and maybe that has something to do with the polls too, that they have to change the tone?
Well, I mean, they're certainly under a lot of pressure to change the tone here. I mean, the premier's poll numbers are, you know, about as low as you can go.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the Conservatives federally did not fare well in Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a number of people have, you know, attributed that not only to the Conservative federal campaign, but also just the effect the Ford government's cuts have had on people. And, you know, this court challenge actually speaks to that. The premier just a couple months ago said that, you know, if the people of Ontario spoke and they said they wanted to continue with climate action through carbon pricing, he would drop the lawsuit.
Right.
And the people have spoken. Two-thirds of Ontarians voted for a political party that supports carbon pricing.
Mm.
The vast majority of seats in the federal election were won by parties that support carbon pricing. So why doesn't the premier listen to the people of Ontario? They've sent a message loud and clear and respect the people of this province and stop wasting our tax dollars on a politically motivated court challenge.
Mm-hmm. There has been some moves, and this gets into other issues. You know, the Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing, Stephen Clark, announced last Friday that they were not going to be looking at amalgamating various municipalities. Stephen Lecce, the Minister of Education, has been talking about, you know, sort of meeting the unions halfway in negotiations in terms of like class sizes. The QP strike didn't happen. I'm wondering, what do you make of this, you know, sort of walking back? Like, you know, we talked a lot about the, you know, what may be driving them, but what do you think this says about where the government is heading, that, you know, they feel like they kind of know where it's like the electrified fence. The Raptors are kind of testing the fence and, you know where the weaknesses are. And maybe this government knows maybe where they can proceed and where they can't.
Yeah. Well, I think in many respects, Adam, the government cut first, think and consult later approach really hasn't worked. And I think they realize that.
Mm-hmm.
It's reflected in their poll numbers. It's, you know, reflected in, you know, how many times the premier's been booed at various public events over the last 5 months. And so I think the government recognized that they have to respond to that, and they have to shift.
Yeah.
And we have seen that when the public puts pressure on this government, that in some cases they will backtrack. So, you know, Schedule 10 of Bill 66 that would have undermined the Clean Water Act and opened the Greenbelt for development, they backtracked on. Obviously, funding for children and families with autism, they backtracked on that, though there's still a lot of anxiety around the government developing a program there.
Mm.
They obviously backtracked on, you know, the cuts to municipalities,
mm-hmm.
The retroactive cuts, though there's still a lot of concern that, you know, those cuts may go forward, you know, in future years. So they have, you know, they backtracked a little bit in their negotiations on teachers unions, but the bottom line on that one, Adam, is that we're already seeing negative effects of cuts to classrooms in schools right now,
right,
going from 22 to 22.5. If we go to 25, which the government is putting out as a compromise position, that's an additional cut to our schools. We're looking at probably 5,000, maybe slightly more, approximately 5,000 teachers being eliminated from classrooms. You know, at a time when we're seeing rising rates of violence in our schools, we're seeing, you know, a lot of concern about bullying and in schools, at a time where many people are saying we need more adults in classrooms, not fewer adults in classrooms.
Right.
So, you know, you could say they've backtracked a bit, but it's still a significant increase in average class sizes, which is going to have a negative effect on our education system. And one of the things I can tell you that I hear from employers all the time is that we have a lack of skilled workers in Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
And so really, for the sake of our economy, we should be investing more in education, not less in education.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I was reviewing over the weekend, the interview we did after the budget, and you were talking about maybe after, once the federal election's out of the way and the Conservatives might, you know, go for deeper cuts in the budget for year two. Are you still concerned about that, or has the situation shifted? Has the ground shifted enough that maybe the government is being held in check in a way that, you know, is a bit advantageous for people who are concerned about deeper cuts and more austerity.
Yeah, well, you know, the Financial Accountability Officer in his report earlier this year, just sort of analyzing the budget, indicated that there are still $6.5 billion of unallocated or unidentified cuts to come. And so that's what's fueling the concerns I have and here that we may see more cuts moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
My hope is that given the fact that the budget deficit is half of what the government claimed it was going to be, they initially said it was $15 billion. Now it's actually about $7.4 billion.
Mm.
So it's half of what they said it was going to be, that maybe that gives them some room to backtrack on some of those cuts.
Right.
And so I certainly hope that that's the case. I'm going to be putting pressure on them. I think I'm hoping most people in Ontario are going to put pressure on them to sort of recalibrate in that regard. I mean, the one thing I'll remind them is, you know, one of the biggest ticket items in last year's fall economic statement was a tax cut to the wealthiest 15% of Ontarians.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if, you know, if the government would reverse that, that's additional revenue that they could put towards the deficit and avoid these cuts to education and social services and really the most vulnerable in our society.
Mm-hmm. Before we run out of time, I do want to ask you about your own private member's bill, the Protect Our Moraine. What's the status of that right now, and might we see that come up for the third reading before Christmas?
Yeah, well, you know, as you know, and many listeners know, it did pass with all-party support, second reading, so it's at committee now. My hope is the government will push that bill forward, partly because it's a bill that's based on legislation that a previous Conservative government passed. Back in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
It's based on legislation that was introduced as private members' bills from Liberals, NDP, and Conservative members.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, my hope is we can receive all-party support at third reading for the bill. But I've yet to have any indication from the government what their plans are in terms of which private members' bills they want to move through committee.
Mm-hmm.
There is some, you know, talk here that is part of kind of resetting the tone here and looking to be less confrontational, that there may be some opportunities for private members' bills to move through.
Right.
And I'm hoping that's the case. And I think, you know, this is a real opportunity, I think, for the government to get a win, to you know, for all the people who say, you know, they're doom and gloom on everything, especially when it comes to environmental issues like protecting water, here's an opportunity for them to support a bill based on legislation that, you know, like I said, a previous Conservative government had
right.
passed, and hopefully for them to get a win.
Right. Having said that, you know, 5 month break, has it been hard getting back into the routine?
No, actually, I feel great. I was up here early this morning at Queen's Park and wanted to be here to support the teachers, especially those from Guelph, who are marching this morning, and just really get myself going. And so, you know, we've jumped in both feet first with, you know, speaking opportunity and question period. I'll be debating Bill 124 today, be speaking to the Canadian Co-op Housing Association this evening. And so it's exciting to be back. I certainly enjoyed the opportunity to spend more time in Guelph over the last 5 months. I had a chance to do a couple tours around the province, and I always learn a lot that I can bring back to Guelph and to Queen's Park whenever I travel around the province. And so I'm just excited and eager to take what I've heard from people and give voice to it here at Queen's Park.
Well, I'll let you get back to all the fun then, but I appreciate you taking the time, Mike. Thanks.
Yeah, my pleasure, Adam. Anytime.
And once again, that was Mike Schreiner, the Guelph Member of Provincial Parliament and the leader of the Green Party of Ontario. We'll be talking a bit more about the Ontario Legislature on this week's edition of Open Sources Guelph, Thursday at 5 p.m. on CFRU. And if you'd like to hear more from Schreiner, personally, that is, he will be hosting an AMA, and Ask Mike Anything, on November 14th at the 10C Shared Space in downtown Guelph. And for more information about that, you can find it on Schreiner's Facebook page, which you can find at facebook.com/Mike.Schreiner. And that's it for this edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The Guelph Politicast is recorded at CFRU at the University Center on the University of Guelph campus. And to learn more about CFRU, you can go to cfru.ca. You can download the Guelph Politicast on Wednesday from iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify, or you can download it from the host Podbean at guelphpoliticast.podbean.com. And when you subscribe to the Guelph Politicast, you will get an episode of Open Sources Guelph on Mondays and an episode of End Credits on Fridays. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com, reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson or at Guelph Politico. There is also the Guelph Politico Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And if you'd like to help build a locally sourced independent media outlet in the city of Guelph, then please consider donating to Guelph Politico, and you can find out how at guelphpolitico.ca/donate. And for all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.ca, where there will be a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you next week. And until then, see you next time.